It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Oh, Mr. Webster could never define what's being said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. You need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. You say nothing at all.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
So, this is a big book. It's a small book, but it's a big book, and it's
a very powerful book for me. So, obviously, we've really taken up some very good time by, you know, sharing with each other, which I think was quite beneficial for our meeting today. So, we only have just a short space of time to go through as much as possible. So what I would do is to just go ahead and read, you know, snippets of what Doreen would be saying, since I think it makes a lot of sense not trying to put it into my own words, but to bring it out as she really intends this book to be. So one of her main things is that we are in constant communication with God. And I'm going to be taking my glasses on and off. It's very distracting. Please forgive me. But I only could look in the book. I can't see you guys when I keep this on. Anyhow, one of the main ideas of this book is that we are all one. And this is the main idea of Science of Mind too. It's just one God, one universe, one God is Alpha and Omega. It's the beginning and the end. And so because we are all one, then everything must come from the one. It cannot come from outside. There is no outside. There is never an outside. And if you could just embody that statement, because this is going to make a difference between accepting guidance, accepting that divine communication, and it's going to make a difference between that and thinking that your guidance comes from outside of you. Your guidance can never ever come from outside, because there is no outside. It's all one. One God, one man, one perfect being, one world. Everything is within the one. And so that is a basic thing to grasp. And so Doreen is saying that we are in constant contact with God. And she asked the question, have you ever experienced anything similar to the following situations? Like you misplaced your keys, your car keys, your wallet, your a letter. And suddenly a hunch guides you to it. Another question she asks is, when you meet someone new, your first impressions accurately predict the course of your relationships. You know, everybody talked about meeting someone, and they're still here today, and how they felt about that first meeting. It is absolutely God and divine, and you know, constant contact with God. And again, you think about an old friend, and later that day, you receive a letter or a phone call from that friend. Does that ever happen? So throughout our lives, we have experienced many instances of divine guidance, and that is absolutely what divine guidance is. I would read a quote from her. She says, "The voice of your Creator has never left you, and in fact, can never leave you. The spark of divine light created when God first thought of you remains tucked away within you. This light is one with God, which means that you are one with God. Through the divine light, which is your true essence, you are privy to every thought that comes from God's mind. In truth, then, your mind is eternally connected to the divine wisdom of God's mind. God and the angels have always spoken to you continuously. They have been guiding, coaxing, and encouraging you since you were first created. Not one moment in your entire history have you been apart from God and His wise love. Because God is always with you, guiding you, all you have to do is learn how to strengthen that connection and tune into the various forms of divine guidance that the various forms divine guidance takes in your life. So when you do this, we feel peace and courage that comes from being in constant contact with the mentor of all mentors." And then she went on to say, "Think of it this way. If we were offered the opportunity to have a guide who knew all the answers to every question, who was totally devoted to your happiness, to your safety and welfare, and who expected nothing in return but your willingness to be helped, would you gratefully say yes?" This guide, our beloved Creator, is already with each one of us. We already have our own personal guide. When we get in the habit of having continuous conversations with God, our every action and thought is guided with powerful harmony. Now, Doreen also went on to talk about some of the reasons why we don't have, or we are not aware of divine guidance. And some of those reasons are that we may not know that we are divinely guided, or we do not know that we do not know how divine guidance sounds, what it feels like, what it hears, how it should look, or we are afraid of being controlled by an outside being or a divine or God that we call, you know, that's somewhere up there. We are afraid of that type of guidance. We are also afraid of failing when divine guidance asks us to spread our wings and fly. We are afraid of success, some of us. We fear that God will reprimand, punish, or manipulate if we don't listen. And another one she talked about is we want to expect a different answer than the one we receive from divine guidance. So why would you listen when you already know the answer? So there's no need to listen to God, all right? So these are some of the ways that she's saying that can block our divine guidance. She went on to talk about the fact how we can go about unblocking, how we can go about healing this rift that we have created. She mentioned a part in her book where she spoke about the ego, where the ego really is the one that kind of tickles you. God says something and the ego says, think about it this way, or don't worry to do it right away. You know, there are so many ways that the ego can kick in and cause problems. And so once we identify and live these fears that I just spoke about and these reservations, we can easily hear divine guidance. Once you can recognize true divine guidance, then you'll become increasingly aware of its presence within your heart, within your mind, and your body. Now, there are ways that she has come up with in strengthening, how to strengthen your divine guidance, how to strengthen your connection. Keep in mind that we are always connected, but like when we don't use a muscle, we lose it. We want to continue that strength. So we want to all have clear conversations with God and the angels. So sometimes divine guidance only requires a few new behaviors that help us to turn up the volume so you can better hear God's voice. And there are a number of ways that you can do that, and I'll just name two of them. One is learn the truth that dispels fear and blocks those that list. Okay, let's forget that one. The second one is relax and know that divine guidance is natural. It is a normal part of our being, and it is a part of your heritage as a child of God. We are always connected. And then remind yourself to ask for divine guidance. Guidance is frequently given, but we must practice. And that's the way we get a chance to strengthen our divine connection muscle. So once you've overcome the fears and habits that keep you from being divinely guided, it becomes louder and it becomes stronger. Alright? And so she went on to talk about what God says about divine guidance. And this is like a conversation she had with God. One of the questions she asked is, what would you like to tell us about communicating with you? And God said, do it more often. I like it when my precious children call home. The love that comes pouring forth from your hearts when you beseech me washes over me just as my love enters into you. And another question she asked, do you have a preferable way for us to speak to you? And God said, often. As I say, this is my only preference. Do it often. Yet so many are terrified of hearing my voice that they wait for later to call me. And later has repercussions, okay? And we can go into that at a later time. Another thing Dr. Virtue spoke about is free will. Now, she said, God's law of free will says that we are free to make mistakes and choices without his interference. And she did make a note to talk about the he in her text. And she used the he the same way that I learned he when I grew up I learned it the English way in my country, where we use the masculine just to do an overall coverage. But please feel free, if you are offended by he and him, to use whatever word, she, her, God, spirit, you know, whatever words you want to use. Please don't be limited by this word he, or be put off by it. So God's law of free will says that we are free to make mistakes and choices without his interference. He will not impose divine guidance on us if we are resistant to his help. The only exception is that if we are in a life endangering situation before time. And so she went on to talk, you know, give examples, which I really implore you to, you know, this is a wonderful book, even if it's just curiosity to buy it and look through it, because she gives so many beautiful examples of people who have had intercessions before their time. And God came in and God and the angels divinely guided into another scenario. So once we know that we have free will, we have to use that choice to ask, because asking is a huge issue in truly opening up and receiving divine guidance. Ask and it is given. As she says, there are things that God intercedes and initiates because it could be life-threatening for us. And sometimes we don't even know it. It just happens. But on our day-to-day, taking control, taking responsibility of our lives, why not use this guidance that is always available, this contact, this communication that is always available to us? Why not just consciously, purposely ask for God's help, God's communication? So this is one of the ways that she has literally asked us to use the law of free will. God really, even in our science of mind, philosophy, does not impose his will upon us. It is all about freedom and personal responsibility. So we come to the point where we have to let go and trust God. And that is a big deal. As children, we are aware of our contact with God, and the angels. She always mentions the angels when she says God. We are born in a state of openness and innocence. And many times we shut down our spiritual connectedness because of fear. Yet we can always reopen our connection with heaven the moment we let go of that fear. And so she went on to give some more illustrations. And I wanted to share with you every minute, hour and day, angels whisper answers to our powerful prayers. God speaks to us from within our feelings, our inner voice, our spiritual sight, and sense of knowingness. Part of this divine guidance comes from the fact that God created a perfectly orderly universe. Everything happens in exactly the correct time, place, and sequence. Even atoms do bump into one another Even atoms do not bump into one another accidentally. My dear Phil and his wave theory. Every thought has a corresponding reaction, and nothing happens by chance or coincidence. So when you have a thought or a feeling, then you are essentially requesting a result. Whether your thoughts are about worries and fears or about your greatest hopes and desires, they are all prayers. The ordered universe delivers everything to you exactly as you ask. God and the angels hope you will choose your thoughts and desires wisely. Even better, they hope you will allow them and your true self to decide for you. Still, this is a free will universe, and so we are free to make mistakes and cause ourselves and others pain. Divine guidance is God's way of leading us away from pain and towards peace. Whatever the question we ask of Him, the answers always involves love. God answers us directly with suggestions and directions or information. And so we are going to just kind of go over what she thinks God is and what she thinks the angels are. The source of divine guidance, God, the angels, and the spiritual realm. That is another chapter. She says, many people ask me, Dr. Virtue, how do you define God? What do angels look like? Is my deceased grandmother my guardian angel? Does everyone, even evil people, quote, quote, you know that one is evil, have a guardian angel? Whenever I talk about God and the guardian angels, I am asked similar questions. While I don't claim to have all the answers, I do know where they are and I do know how to access them. Everyone seems to have different ideas about the nature of God and heaven. Perhaps this is a part of God's great plan, or maybe it is because people come from a variety of spiritual and religious backgrounds. So who are the angels? The angels are thoughts of love sent from God, according to Dr. Virtue. Since God is continuously expressing loving thoughts, there are infinite number of angels. They are very real messengers sent by God to help us feel peace and joy. God is the all in all, and our spirits are made in His image and likeness. God is all loving, all knowing, and everywhere, and we possess those same qualities. We are actually extremely powerful beings, yet we seem to fear being powerful, so we hold ourselves back. However, in truth, we are one with God and each other. The belief that we are separated from God and other people is just that, a belief. Okay? So what are the angels? She says, they are loving thoughts from God. Okay, and one of the things that I know in Science of Mind, which talks about thought, is all thoughts create thought forms. And this is her explanation. When you think about anything, an electrical impulse is released. It's charged, gathers into a form that appears clairvoyantly like a soap bubble. The thought form creates, manifests, and attracts that which is similar to it. That is why the axiom, be careful what you ask for, because you'll probably get it. It's true. Our thought forms are our obedient servants that manifest into our experiences. The thought forms do not judge us whether what we have asked for would help or hurt us. There is no judgment. They simply say yes. Yes, Master. Yes, Miss. and help us to experience in the material world whatever we are thinking about. Fearful thoughts take a while to manifest into form. By the time the problem manifests, we have usually forgotten the original negative thought that spawned them. Loving thoughts, in contrast, manifest immediately. So since God is 100% love, all of his thought forms are loving. These thought forms come to us because that's all God's will. These are angels composed purely of God's love, light, and intelligence. And so she went on to talk about what the angels look like, and she says they do look like light. And she has a way of judging, you know, you put a person against the side of a clear wall and look about 2 inches above the person and you should see a glow. She says usually that is the glow of the angels. And then you just use your inner vision to see the outline. It's a dim outline of the glow, and usually you would. She says it looks like what pictures are of angels, and there is a communication between her and the angels where they, you know, she was. She said, you know, do you really look like what people draw and people have as portraits of you? And they said, we can look like that because that's what people recognize us to be. But angels are, obviously, we know everyone around us are angels. But she also mentions that we do have angels by our sides constantly. She says there's one on your right shoulder, one on your left shoulder, one in your right and your right hand, and one or more ahead of you. And there is an exercise that she gave in finding out who your angels are. And you can literally talk to them. And in the book, she literally kind of points out, you know, clearing yourself, deep breaths. She talks a lot about deep breaths because deep breath is literally the phone line, the connection to God. And asking the question, you know, what's your name? And, you know, you literally get an answer. I got some answers. So I know who my angel on my right side is, who my angel on my left. And, you know, it's something interesting. And it's a name that stays with you. So I feel good about it. And she also went on to talk about guardian angels and how you can go about talking with your angels. A question she asked was, since you say we, I assume this is the angel speaking. And she said yes. And the angel said yes. And another question was, and am I also speaking to God simultaneously? And the angel said, of course, as we say, there is no distinction between us. And so she went on, you know, further, and there's so much reading in between. But what I really want to get, and I know our halftime has come, it's 12:07, we're going to get into how to ask for God's guidance. And we would also go into the different forms of guidance. She calls them the four clairs. The clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and there's another clair, which... Anyone whose name is Clair here? And claircognizance, which is clairknowing. Alright, so... we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we come back, we discuss some of the clairvoyance, and we have an exercise to see how clairvoyant we are. Mm-hmm.
Before we do that, I want to make a comment. Did anybody notice what's on the bottom of these now?
Yeah.
Thought pads.
Okay, so we take a break about 10 minutes. Thank you.